May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure before thy face, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Charity is about serving others without any reward in mind. And when the Lord joined this group of lawyers and Pharisees for a Sabbath meal in the Gospel of Luke, the Lord showed us exactly how this works. Now, at first, this story may seem like a fairly peaceful interaction between the Lord and this group of lawyers and Pharisees. But when we take a closer look here this morning, we're going to see that the Lord really challenged them. And in this story, the Lord really challenges us, too. Because serving others without any thought of reward can be challenging. It can be difficult. In this story, a leading Pharisee had invited Jesus to his home for a meal on the Sabbath. And this invitation was a setup, it seems. Once Jesus came in to eat bread with the assembled lawyers and Pharisees, a group of prominent men, it says they watched him closely. And as they were watching, a man with a malady called dropsy appeared right there in front of the Lord. Now, dropsy is a condition which causes swelling in soft tissue in the body due to the excess accumulation of water and often causes severe swelling and disfigurement in the lower legs and ankles and feet. So there was a man with this condition right there in front of Jesus, and we can picture this group of lawyers and Pharisees sitting there staring at the Lord and waiting to see what he was going to do. The Lord had already been severely criticized for healing on the Sabbath. And now, right in front of him was another opportunity to do the very same thing. So the Lord, without any prompting, simply asked the group that he had been invited himself for a meal on the Sabbath. He asked them, is it permitted to cure on the Sabbath? When they could not answer, the Lord healed the man by taking hold of him, it says. We can picture this incredible act of love by the Lord toward this man, an act of defiance of the dominion that the lawyers and Pharisees were trying to exercise over the Lord. We can picture Jesus embracing this man with them watching. We can picture the swelling in the man's body disappearing and the Lord saying to this man that he could now go. The Lord healed a man who he would likely never see again on earth. He healed a man who could do nothing for him. And now the Lord was going to use this opportunity to teach the assembled lawyers and Pharisees how far they were from true charity. So he challenged them. And he challenged them by helping them see what they were willing to do on the Sabbath. The Lord pointed out to them that even though it was a Sabbath, they all would still rescue their livestock if one of their donkeys or oxen had fallen into a pit. He said, which of you shall have a donkey or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightaway pull it out on the day of the Sabbath? There was so much going on when the Lord asked this question to these lawyers and Pharisees. The Lord was referring to a set of Old Testament laws regarding what to do when one's donkeys or oxen are injured or killed by falling into a pit. And the Lord was pointing out that when it was a benefit to this group, they would certainly rescue their animals on the Sabbath. He was pointing out that they did not think that the law of the Sabbath displaced the law regarding donkeys and oxen that had fallen into a pit. But yet here they were, disapproving of Jesus' healing on the Sabbath. It seems they were willing to impose the law of the Sabbath to exercise dominion over Jesus. But they were not willing to impose the same law when it would bring harm to their own earthly possessions. And once the Lord pointed this out, they could only answer with a silence indicating their hypocrisy had been exposed. Now, we can ask ourselves the very same question the Lord asked these lawyers and Pharisees. Do we ever fail to act when our power or possessions are at risk? When we can see the benefit to ourselves of a particular action, we usually do it. Especially if we can see that there's nothing wrong with it or convince ourselves it's a perfectly fine thing to do. And when this kind of thinking becomes our primary motivation to benefit ourselves first rather than others, then we may have some spiritual work to do. The Lord could see such a spiritual state on display among those he was dining with on that Sabbath, so he tried to help them, just like he helped the man with dropsy. And he told them a parable. It says he spoke a parable to those who were invited when he observed how they chose out the first places to recline. Apparently, as they entered the house of this prominent Pharisee, they each sought out a place to sit that would indicate their importance. And we can picture them each vying for a spot that would be the equivalent to the head of the table as they came in and sat down. So after seeing this, the Lord used a parable regarding attendance at a wedding as an example of how to practice humility. The Lord explained to them that when going to a wedding, one should recline in the last place, not the first place. He said, "For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself shall be exalted." And this parable is, of course, for our benefit here today, too. As we read in the heavenly doctrine, when the heart is truly humble, nothing of the love of self or the love of the world stands in the way. If we are really committed to charity, we will work to check ourselves every time we are tempted to sit at the head of the table. Every time hell whispers to us to pat ourselves on the back or puff out our chest when we've done something nice for somebody else, we can remember the Lord's words to the Pharisees. Go recline in the last place. So after identifying humility as the antidote to selfishness that stands in the way of charity, the Lord then gave a specific example of how we can remove selfishness so that charity from the Lord can come forth. And he did this by confronting his host this time. He said to him who invited him, "When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brothers, nor thy kinsfolk, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also invite thee back, and recompense be made to thee. But when thou makest a reception, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be happy, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." Here the Lord is teaching something in the Gospel of Luke that he repeats in his second coming in New Jerusalem and her heavenly doctrine, where he says, "Charity, therefore, is an internal affection from which man wills to do good, and this without remuneration. The delight of his life consists in doing it." When we think of this definition of charity and look at this group of prominent men and how they were acting, it seems that they had things exactly backwards. They all came together on the Sabbath not to learn what the Lord teaches and do good to the neighbor, but to demonstrate their own importance and visit with one another in an effort to maintain their standing. Inviting Jesus over for a meal on that Sabbath seemed to be part of a scheme to catch him breaking the law of the Sabbath as they imposed it so they could protect their own power and diminish his. It seems they were happy to entertain each other because there was a mutual understanding that they would recompense their host by trying to trap the Lord. It was the Lord alone who was acting charitably on that Sabbath in this group. Inviting the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind to supper means doing good to the neighbor and teaching truth to those who are in grave need of it. And by healing the man with dropsy, and trying to teach the Pharisees and lawyers themselves, the Lord was acting charitably. Of course he was acting charitably. Not only did he heal the one man physically, but he was trying to heal the lawyers and the Pharisees spiritually too. And the healing of the man with dropsy was no coincidence either. dropsy in the word corresponds to the perversion of good and truth. And when the Pharisees invited each other over to try to maintain their corrupt influence over Jesus, they were perverting the good and truth of the word, specifically by using the law of the Sabbath to prevent acts of charity like the Lord's healing the man with dropsy. This perversion, where love to the neighbor is replaced by love of self, is described metaphorically in the heavenly doctrine as causing the love of heaven in a person to depart from his head, where it rules his body, and instead fall down through the body all the way to the feet. Then, when charity occupies only the lowest parts of our body, it no longer determines what the rest of the body is doing. Instead, any charity that is done serves the head of a person consumed by love of self. Should we be surprised, then, that the disease that the Lord healed at the very beginning of the story was a disease that often results in the excess accumulation of water in the legs and feet to the point of severe disfigurement? It seems to be a correspondential depiction of selfishness, relegating the truths of the word regarding charity down to only the lowest parts of our body. So let's look at how the Lord heals this condition. Let's look at some of the ways this story can help us do the right thing for the right reason rather than doing something that seems good, but doing it only for selfish purposes. Let's look at what the Lord offers to heal us from this spiritual illness. First, we can ask ourselves what the Lord asked the lawyers and Pharisees. We can ask ourselves if we are trying to sit in the most prominent seat at the wedding. When we do something good, are we doing it to appear good? Do we bring attention to ourselves when we do what is right? Or do we sit in a lower position, hoping that no one will really give attention to us specifically when we are trying to do something good? The Lord teaches in true Christian religion that those who are in the delight of doing good to the neighbor are sad when it is believed that they work for the sake of recompense. So when we work to do good, we can also look for ways to do it without fanfare. Second, when we have people over for dinner, or thinking correspondentially, when we engage in acts of charity, we can ask ourselves, would we still be doing the same thing for that person if we knew there was never anything they could do for us in return? Perhaps we can also ask ourselves, would we do this act of charity we're considering if we knew we would never see that person again? And if the honest answer is sometimes no, then we know we have some spiritual work to do. And all of us have some spiritual work to do if the charity of angels is our goal. To get a sense for how much angels love to help another person without any hope of reward, the Lord teaches us in the heavenly doctrine that angels would be willing to save a person from hell by taking their place there if they were permitted to do it. And finally, based on this story in Luke, we can ask ourselves if we are willing to do the right thing, even if we know we will be ridiculed for it, or if we know that the people we are trying to help may react negatively. It didn't stop the Lord. And though we certainly need to be mindful of how best to proceed in any particular situation that we're in, it shouldn't stop us either. We never know how a particular act of charity may make a difference in the Lord's providence. In our story in Luke, it ends with this surprising admission. When one of those who sat with him heard these things, he said to Jesus, "Happy is he who eats bread in the kingdom of God." Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.